For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Australia, if you're in Germany, if you're in Russia, open your text message applications, send your message to 22333 in the text box, enter VBF text, followed by your question or comment, and then press send. And, if you're a first time, any first time visitors, very first time, anybody, very, very first time. Oh, great. Okay. Raise them high. We're going to give you something. And if you'd fill out the card on the inside, take it to the VIP booth, and they're going to give you a trip to Hawaii. Now, they're going to give you something. So keep your hands up and glad you're here. Oreo finds a friend is in Spanish. So take it to your friends that speak Spanish. Man Cave, 9 o'clock this Saturday. Now we've got Man Cave at Ventura, Vegas, Cal State, and here. All four places going. They all have the same videos, same everything. And then Israel trip, if you're interested and if you have money. If you don't have money, you're not interested. Okay? Don't waste our time. But if you have the money, because we're going to get it all from you on October 4th. We're going to take it all from you. But if you're interested, October 4th at 1 o'clock, there's a meeting in the Cry Room. Fun Fest slide. Fun Fest, we need people. We changed the hours on Fun Fest, 4 to 7. Why is it so short this year? Because it's Saturday night. We want everybody here for church. So it's 4 to 7. We need candy donations. See the hub if you can donate candy. If you can get involved, see the hub. Women's Retreat, Vicki Lohman's the speaker this year. Vicky's the top. She's the ace. I had lunch with them yesterday. Vicky's the speaker. And so it's $110 per person, November 6th and the 8th. New Bible study mark at the hub tonight. Keep your devotions going. Pick it up. And we have a new kiosk for your giving. So everybody can give a few hundred dollars tonight. Line up. We'll get you through there quick at the kiosk. And that's announcements. We have so many announcements now, we're trying to get through them quickly. So I'm sure you have all those right now because we want to get to the Word. And I just came in from Vegas just now. Haven't been over there for a while and I'm back on the schedule again. Do you realize, I calculated, Sunday night at our 40th year, we had about 60 people give their lives to the Lord. Last Wednesday night, we had almost 40 give their lives to the Lord. And in Vegas on Sunday, we have between 40 and 50 give their lives to the Lord. In Vegas. Is that staggering? That's in 1 week, we have had 140 people make a commitment to follow the Lord. In 1 week. That's 1 week. Now, to make that even mind-boggling, I did a graph some times ago, and most churches in America have one salvation a year. A year. We had 140 in a week. 1 week. And we baptized last Wednesday till 10 o'clock. And we're just taking them quick. In Jesus' name, devil, you don't have them anymore. We kill them, bring them back. Next one. In Jesus' name, devil, you're gone. Dunk them and bring the next one back to life. My wife, she said, you know, I said, maybe I think Debbie's kind of like we're getting close to having a revival. She said, close to having it. We're having it. So I'm going to pray a prayer. Father God, use me in any way you see fit tonight. Use me to be your vessel, speak to your people, and cause the words that are spoken to go down to our heart and resonate. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Our subject matter is on our devotions today. In our devotions today, there was a man possessed with demons. It's hard for me to speak on this because I want to take off because I have so many experiences. So many. They used to call me the demon buster of Bakersfield. Maybe California. It's going to be hard for me tonight. I'm going to have to keep myself under control. I said there shouldn't be any kids in here. I post on Facebook. I mean, you still have time. This is X-rated. It is on our devotions this morning. The church is afraid to talk about this. I was doing a big church thing a few years ago, and I just vaguely mentioned something about spiritual warfare. And one of the elders said, "Ron, man, we're so glad you're here. We love you, but we just don't talk about those kind of things." And I said, "You just don't talk about those kind of things? Those kind of things is the heart of the Bible and the gospel. We don't want to scare anybody. Maybe some people need to be scared. Some people need the hell scared right out of them." We live in a world that most of you know very little about. It's crazy. Let me do a backdrop. Number one, demons exist. Whether you like it, I don't care what you think, they exist. How the guy in our text tonight got possessed with demons, I don't know. How much they interact with our life, I don't know, but they do exist. Number two, they're active in our world today a lot more than you think they are. Number three, they're the reason behind many problems we encounter. And number four, if you don't learn to pray in a spiritual warfare way, there's a lot of problems you will never see fixed. And number five, people who say they don't exist are absolutely, unequivocally ignorant of the gospel and the kingdom of God, 100%. I was looking today at some verses, and it was just ridiculous. I want to look up people, do demons exist? And these big theology guys were using something in Zechariah 13:2. That's the best they could come up with. Look at Zechariah 13:2. And it says, "It will come about in that day, declares the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and I'll no longer remember them. I'll also remove the prophets and the unclean spirit from the land." And a basic Bible student, if they looked at the context of this, would know this has nothing to do with no demons in today's society. First of all, this has to do with Messiah. This has to do with the ending of Jerusalem, the ending of age. It has all kinds of things. Secondly, it says it'd be removed from the land, not the world, that particular land around Jerusalem, that area, Middle East. And thirdly, if anybody knows anything about biblical hermeneutics, you can never make a doctrine on one verse. You have to have several verses together. And so it's not even worth taking our time over. Basically, there is no Bible support for demons not being active in our world today. Absolutely zero. And read my lips. I don't think they're real. I know they're real. I've had conversations. I've had deliverances. I've done multiple ones over the year. Ones that if I didn't know better tonight, your hair would stand up when I spoke about what happened. You get goosebumps. You'd probably get a little frightened if I gave you all of my examples of deliverances. And I stumbled onto this. I didn't ask for this. See, you got to remember that when I got saved, I didn't want to follow God right away. I mean, basically, I was hoping God wasn't real because I didn't want to serve him. You all remember I got my Bible out one day and I said, "I don't think you're real. I think you're a figment of someone's imagination, but if you're real, I'll give you my life." And boy, did he ever show me he was real. Everything in that Bible is real. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how the Apostle Paul and the writer of Hebrews both kind of, if you combine what they were saying, they said, "Man, we want to talk to you people and we want to take you so much deeper, but we can't because you're still in kindergarten. You haven't got a kindergarten. You're still fleshy. You're not spiritual people." They said, "We want to take you so much deeper, but we can't. We're not able to do so." And I kind of illustrated that on Sunday morning of saying, if I want to come in and teach you 6 weeks on this way the spirit of discernment works, how could I if a lot of the people they're not even familiar with the Holy Spirit? And there's no way. I'd be just wasting my time. You have to be acquainted with the Holy Spirit first. It indwells you. And I had a sermon on that. Here's the thing, and I know it's redundant, but it bears repeating again. You know, I've lived in the mountains a lot. And again, you will not believe the city slickers that go up there that don't believe there's mountain lions just a few miles out of town. They don't believe it, but they are absolutely unequivocally there. They're under the radar. A guy by the ranch where we take all your kids for all everything, you know, yeah, just about 500 yards from the ranch, the guy has a night camera and he's got a mountain lion, bears, everything on there. They're all creeping around at night. And I've seen it five times, the mountain lion up there. But the majority of you, like for example here, I bet hardly any of you have seen a mountain lion in the wild. They're there. but you don't know they're there because they're under the radar. I see one in our yard 5 times up there. But an average person will never see them because they fly under the radar. Same with sharks. They're there. I'm not going that ocean. You can have it. Not dangling my leg, say, wee, wee, feety, feety, feety. You know, no way. No way. Now, I'm going to baptize, but I'm anointed when I'm baptizing. Now, all the guys over there, Brad, Josh, Vince, they all surf. No, not this guy. Ronnie likes his legs. I like my arms too. Well, they don't eat people very much. No, it's just because they're not in the vicinity of people very much. When they're there, you're going to get eaten probably. Well, it's just juvenile sharks. Juvenile, my foot, they can take your foot off. A juvenile can't. But you don't see them. Now, where do demons come from? There's several theories. Let's give the first one up here. The first theory that is spirits of deceased men. Now, I don't think that's true. Look at Luke 16, 22, 23. Now, the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and he was buried. And in Hades, he just found himself in Hades. He lifted up his eyes being in torment and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. So this guy's not hanging around. You know, he's immediately in Hades. Look at Psalms 9:17. The wicked will return to Sheol. The Sheol is the same word for Hades. That's the Hebrew word. Hades is the Greek word. It's an underworld. It's not hell. It's nice. It's interpreted hell, but it's not hell. Hades and Sheol is not hell. Hell is not even in existence yet. Hell will not be in existence until after a 1,000-year reign. And even all the nations who forget God. You know, when I say that too, how many of you, I'm kind of being eaten up right now on the next couple Sunday nights, if you come in and do a prophecy update where we're at, because stuff's going down so quick, it's unbelievable. It's going down so quick. Would you be interested on a Sunday night if we came back? And let's talk about China. Let's talk about Iran. Let's talk about Russia. Let's talk about Putin. Let's talk about this meeting they just had the other day. Let's put it into scripture. You'd be interested. Okay, the next couple Sunday nights, I'm going to do that. So that's the first theory, that it's the spirits of deceased men, ghosts. No, we don't believe that. So here's the second theory. It's pre-Adamic race and called the gap theory. Now, this is interesting. Most theologians won't buy it. But the theory goes like this, that between Genesis 1 and 1 and 1 and 2, there's a gap of millions of years, which would explain all the fossils, all the prehistoric animals, everything, millions of years. Because in Genesis 1 and 1, there's a perfect world. It looks like Genesis 1 and 2, it's been voided out. And people, the people that ascribe to this theory believe that there were pre-Adamic men on the earth, or a pre-Adamic race on earth. And God wiped them out with a flood in between Genesis 1, 1 and 2. And then he brought Adam, the first man, and started all over. Now, many people believe that. You say, well, that can't be true because in 1 Corinthians 15:45, it says Adam was the first man. Well, you look at first, then it's protos, where we get prototype. He was the prototype of man. That's what it says in the Greek. So that kind of shoots that verse down a little bit. But look at Genesis 1:28 in the King James Version, talking about this theory. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Replenish it. That's interesting. Now he says the same thing. Look at Genesis 9 and 1. It says the same thing. And God blessed Noah after the flood, and his son said to him, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. This is the Hebrew word, replenish. Now, again, I don't trust most commentators because that's what they are. They're potatoes who are common. They're commentators. I don't trust them. I do the work myself. I looked up several commentators. Well, no, the word replenish just means fill. It just means fill. No, it doesn't just mean fill. It can mean fill. But do you know, that's why I don't like commentaries. Bible commentators, whatever they believe in, they're going to slant everything in there towards that. They're going to leave out stuff that they don't believe in. They slant everything. I like just the word itself. Okay, replenish. Let's look. Yahoo definition of replenish. Yahoo definition is to fill something up again. Again, say again. a stock or supply of something to the former level or condition. Well, I don't like Yahoo. Well, let's look at Webster. Let's look at replenish. To fill up again after having been diminished or emptied. Well, I don't like that. Let's look at the Hebrew word. Kale. Now, it can mean to fill, or spatially, the term pictures the act of making that which was empty of a particular content no longer so. Now, according to this theory, there was a pre-Adamic race. According to this theory, the pre-Adamic race, when they were wiped out, their souls and spirits stuck around, and they're part of the demonic host. One third of angels that were cast out of heaven is the other part of the demonic host. So if that theory was right, you would have pre-Adamic spirits of men that used to be on the earth, which would explain why some demons want bodies, because they used to have a body, according to this theory. So they want bodies today. See, a spirit can't enjoy life if he doesn't have a body. He can't party down. He can't get high. He can't have sex unless he has a body. So in that theory, they say there's the demons are one third of the angels cast out of heaven plus these pre-Adamic race souls and spirits. Well, does that hold the water? Let's look at Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. That's our case, I believe, in the Greek, if I remember correctly. That's the top dogs. And against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces. Now, you see two things there? World forces, spiritual forces. World forces, spiritual forces. Here it looks as though you have two different levels of demons. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. It's very interesting because dominions and rulers are hierarchy spirit beings. Authorities, the word is exousia in the Greek, and it means those who take orders from the others. So here again, it looks like that you have two classifications of demons. So when it comes down to the gap theory, you have to make up your own mind. Most theologians will not agree with it. Most will poo-poo on that one, boo-boo-boo. But I think it has enough validity to throw it out there, gap theory. Where does demons come from? The third theory is the spiritual offspring of the people in Genesis chapter 6. Now, you know in Genesis chapter 6 that the sons of God, which is, they're definitely angels and fallen angels. I mean, you know, people want to argue that. Why even argue it? If you take sons of God and put it everywhere else in Scripture, it's always angels. Why in this one passage would it not be angels? The sons of God cohabited with the daughters of women. It says the sons of God saw the women, thought they were beautiful on earth. They cohabited with them, and they had this offspring that were half demons. Half demons, half people, and they called them the Anakim. Now, if you buy my books, maybe we'll throw in a free t-shirt if you want to buy them tonight. Maybe crock pot. We'll get some crock pots next week. I tell the stories there and how I came across one spirit that called himself Anakim. That was his name, Anakim, which would have been one of these, you know. So according to this theory, is these demons had spiritual, they had relations with women, and the offspring were demonic beings and people, and their spirits went on. I know this is a lot to wrap your brain around, but it is in the Bible. I'm teaching the Bible here. Amen. Okay, I'm just teaching the Bible. That's all I'm doing, Genesis 6. I'm not adding to it. You see, how they do that, I don't know if the demons took on men's bodies, and that's possible if they possessed the bodies, and then they did it, you know, because in the Bible, too, we also know that some angels had the power to transform. They could come into fleshy. They could do that. The fourth theory, fallen angels. This is the most popular theory by far, that your whole demonic host is fallen angels. When one third of the angels was cast out of heaven with Lucifer, that's where you got them. So it's your choice. You're going to have to look at these and say, this is what I choose to believe. But what can demons do? In the Bible, they can make people sick, very sick. Remember the lady was bent over for all those years, and it was caused straight by a spirit. Just spirit was gone, she was straightened up. It was that crazy. I had a baby one time, and I can't explain this, but I was praying for a baby. She's blind, and this was years ago, and I had her in my arms, and all of a sudden I felt, this is spiritual. And I started taking authority over spirits, doing spiritual warfare, and immediately she bit into my chest. And every time I took spirit, she bit harder and harder until I was in so much pain, I had to pry her off. going, whoa, what was that? I don't know. They can make people sick. They can cause mental illness and distress. They can cause physical disease. They can propagate false doctrine. You see, where were they in the Old Testament? Oh, they were in the Old Testament. They were there. It was just in the Old Testament, there was no one to contest their authority. And so they remained under the radar. I'll give you some, if you want to write some down, I'll give you some. But look at Judges 9:23. It says, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Now, why? Because God sent an evil spirit. There is a segment of Jewish people that believe that Satan is an angel for God's use. And God uses Satan for bad things. Look at 1 Samuel 16:14. Now the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. And if you look at chapter 18, same thing. Look at Deuteronomy 18:9-12. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to initiate the detestable things of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritualist, or one who calls up the dead. I choose to believe when I read that, that these people were really doing those things. If you're writing down notes, you can write down 1 Samuel 18:10. You can write down Leviticus 17:7, Deuteronomy 32:16-17. Psalms 106:36-38, Deuteronomy 10. I don't have time to read all these verses. So demons, yes, were in the Old Testament, but when Jesus came along and started contesting their power, whoa, everything broke loose. Everything did. Now, let's go to some texts, see if we have any texts, and then we'll, are you okay so far? Yeah. You're not scared or anything, you're okay, okay. How can a person become demon-possessed? Well, we don't really know. Like our man in our text we're going to get to in a moment, we really don't know how this happened. They say Ouija boards, seances, occult, all of that stuff. Just don't mess around with them. Ouija boards is something that I really, really, there's something about Ouija boards. Don't mess with them. Throw them away. Get rid of them. You don't play games like that. And I give you stories again, but I'm not here. And I know there are some youngsters in here that maybe you're, so I'm going to be careful what I say. For XXX, I'm going to keep it just R rated. But yeah, and again, and I honor some of you, because say you have a junior high or high schooler, maybe you need to have them in here. I'm not so sure that they're not old enough to hear this, because we're messing around out there with areas that we don't know what we're messing around with. Like some of you men, I'll tell you right now, if you're into porn a lot, you can get a spirit of lust. You can transfer that spirit of lust to your kids and to your wife. Preach. I believe that. Now, I don't have specific scripture, but I believe that can be done. I've seen it done. See, what's the matter today? We don't have any fear of God. We don't have any fear of God at all. We just go, well, I'll do whatever. Go ahead. But you will pay the due price for your ignorance. I really believe, it's my firm opinion, I can't pull a verse out to show you, but it's my firm opinion from circumstances, things I've seen, that you can, if you have a demon in you, or demons of lust, I believe you could transfer those theoretically to those other people in your household. And how would you like if you go and saw your wife doing what you do? Pretty scary. And your kids, I think those spirits, that's my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. I'm not going to give you this verse. Don't go, you know. The Pharisees, you know what the Pharisees always did? The Pharisees were always looking to trap Jesus, weren't they? At verse after verse. You know, we have a few people out there, and pastors even, that sit around and try to trap us in something we're saying. And they try to trap us so hard. And there's just a couple in the city that I guess they got nothing better to do. But, and I say hi to them tonight. You know, I'm glad you joined us. And, you know, but that's my opinion. That's my opinion. I have a right to have opinion. And I think that is it. But with that in mind, say, oh, text. Yeah, I forgot where I was at. Two or three more texts. Did Jesus deliberately go to this man who was possessed? Was he part of his plan? Yes, I think he did. In fact, many believe that in the chapter 4 we read yesterday, Jesus, they got on a boat and the boat almost capsized. And many believe, I'm not saying I'm one of them necessarily, that the devil caused that storm at sea to try to keep Jesus from getting to this man. And if you look at other gospel, there were two men, but we only have the center story centers around one. So yes, we think he intentionally went to this man. Maybe somebody's praying for this man. Maybe people are praying for him. Let's look at one more. In your dealings with people who are possessed, do demons always respond when you command them to speak? Not always, but I'd say 60% of the time they do. But not always. And you will definitely know when they do. And it's almost the same stuff all the time. I was watching a deliverance thing on 2020 about 5 years ago or six. It was a priest doing it. And he was not one of these corny guys. He was really doing it right. And I had a living room full of people, and I said, I'm going to show you. Everything's going to happen. I pinpointed before it happened. I said, here's what will happen. Here's what will happen next. Here's what will happen next. Here's some things that are going to be said right now. And it just went to the pattern. Another one. If a legion is 1,000 soldiers in the Roman army, was this man possessed by 1,000? Well, legion could be more than 1,000. It could go up to several thousand. But we don't know how many demons were here. We just know there's 2,000 pigs. That doesn't mean that maybe just a few went into the pigs and alerted all the other pigs and they did their pig thing. So we don't know. Let's look at Mark 5, 1 through 5. This is our devotional today. Mark 5, 1 through 5. They came to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broke into pieces. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, constantly, constantly, he was screaming among the tombs and the mountains and gashing himself with stones. Wouldn't that be nice to be sleeping around there camping out? Yeah. You got your typical punk rocker here. Dressed in black, cutting himself. Picture of death. No, I'm just kidding. It's not your punk rocker. I was just joking. Here's what we know about this guy. Number one, he lived among the dead. He wanted to be among the dead. He had a morbid curiosity with the dead. How many of you know David Meek, the one, the testimony, my testimony, David Meek, who came to live with me when he was 18, and he was suicidal, tried to kill himself 3 times. Most of you have heard the story. I took David into my home when he was 17, 18 years old, and he lived with me, and he tried to kill himself twice more when he was living with me. And later on, he became the principal of Bakersfield Christian High School. He just went and did great things. But I remember with David, we tried everything to get the suicide thing out of him. And one day, me and Pastor Doug Lohman prayed and said, could this be demonic? And we asked for a confirmation, and the confirmation happened. And David can tell you a story, but when we took authority over spirits and did spiritual authority over him, he never, ever tried to do it again. And David had a morbid thing about death. He wanted to go back and visit his grandpa's grave back in Oklahoma. And I kept telling him, no, I know what you're going to do. You're going to go back here and try to commit suicide. And he had a morbidity, a real morbid thing about death, and always was talking about death. And I took him deer hunting and shot a deer, and he wanted to touch the dead. He was just really infatuated with that. Number two, what we know about this guy is that he had tremendous physical strength. You ever tried to break a chain? I remember when we had the church over, just starting, one day some kids come to me and say, hey, I think our dad has spirits. I said, oh, really? I was a young guy, 24 years old, like save the world. They said, yeah, man. He walks around the house at night, like 2 a.m, doing poems to God. And you know, man, he talks and he has spirits. I said, well, I'll come over and take care of it today. So I went over after church and I get to their house. I said, well, he's not here right now. He's out walking around churches. Really? Yeah, I want to tell you though, Ron, when he comes home, he can rip a door right off the hinges. I go, oh, what'd you say? He can do what? Rip it right off. I said, we'll pray real quick because I really got an appointment. I got to get out of here. You know, I'm out of here. And more stories with this guy. But, you know, the spirit inside of you can cause you to have tremendous strength. Have you read all the stories through the years that somebody, there's a car on their kid or something, and a little lady picks the car up? Because the spirit within them gives them physical strength. There are a lot of stories like that. And so there's nothing peculiar about the fact that this spirit gave this guy tremendous physical strength. In fact, I was in one, and a young girl about 19 was picking us up during the delivery. It was unbelievable. Number three, we know about this guy who is mentally unstable. Mentally unstable. How many of you, I'm sure you can, we can all relate to this. Have you ever had a, can you remember a time when a spirit of anger came over you? I mean, a spirit of anger. You weren't just angry. It was a spirit of anger. Or a spirit of fear. And you weren't just afraid. You had a spirit of fear. Or a spirit of lust come all over you and you go, oh my goodness. I mean, it was a spirit of lust. Well, think about living with that 24/7. Are you going to be a peculiar person? Yes, you are. You're not going to fit in. You're not going to fit in. So that's kind of like to have a demon living in you. You're going to be that person 24/7. And people aren't going to want to be around you. That's the first four thing. No one wanted to be around him. Would you? Number five, society's answer to his dilemma was to isolate him, chain him up, incarcerate him, get him put away. You know, too bad we don't have a Christian nation. You know how much some good, authoritative Jesus prayer would do if you went into a prison or a mental institution? I'm convinced if you go to a mental institution, again, just don't confuse the two. People are mentally ill. They're broken. It's physical. But I believe today, and I don't have any reason to know the stats, but we could go into a mental institution and there would be enough people that would walk out with us 100% cured. 100%. Just through some spiritual authority and deliverance. That is sad, but I'm convinced and know that is true. So today, what do? We isolate them, chain them up, throw them in a prison, and then we wonder why we don't rehabilitate them. You know, over 75% of the people are repeated offenders. They go, because see, you know what? Only Jesus can change the inside. Only Jesus. Nobody else. Nobody else can change the inside. I know. Because I'm like you. I'm not even the same man that I was 35, 40 years ago. I wouldn't even recognize that man if I met him today. Are you with me? Are you too? I would not even recognize that person. Look at verses 6 through 10. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up. You say, why did he run up? I'm going to tell you in a second, in my opinion. He ran up and bowed down before him, submitted, okay? Shouting with a loud voice, he said, what business do we have with each other, Jesus, the Son of God Most High? How did he know? Well, he was in heaven before. No, Jesus didn't look the same in heaven as he looked here. Jesus in heaven, look at Revelation. That was white and shining. And I think they've been around. They've been watching him for some time. And I implore you by God, this is interesting. Don't torment me. Interesting. For he had been saying to him more than once, come out of him. The only thing is, he didn't have to say come out of him in Jesus' name, because he was Jesus. come out of him. And he was asking him, what is your name? And he said to him, my name is Legion, and we are many. And he began to implore him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Very interesting. Now see, again, we're going to have to use our imagination a little bit. What happened? I see this guy perched on a hill. He lives in the graveyard. And he sees, nobody goes around that area. Nobody does. He saw a boat of guys coming in. And I think he ran down the hill to assault them, harass them. Hey, people are coming into my land. And I can see him running down like the Roadrunner cartoon. All of a sudden, it's Jesus. He didn't know until he got there close. And he goes, oh, phooey. I was going to say something else. No, I wasn't. Oh, phooey. And I think that's what happened. He came down to assault him. When he got close, he goes, oh, no, it's Jesus, and it's too late. Because Jesus jumped right on him, man, like a fly on a barbecue rib on a holiday barbecue. He was on him, man. Now, this passage shows us here a few things. Number one is this. The demons recognized Jesus. And immediately, they were subjected to him. The first time I had a deliverance, I went to a guy, and it was a crazy, crazy thing. And I said, in Jesus' name, Spirit, tell me who you are. And I didn't know anything. I was green. And he goes, my name's Largus. I'm going to kill this kid. Nothing you're going to do about it. And I went, oh, my goodness. But I noticed the kid would start doing this. And I say, in Jesus' name, stop. And he stopped. pound his head against the wall. Jesus' name, stop. And he stopped, pound his head against the wall. And I go, oh, this is pretty cool. This is like Simon Says. But see, the immediate authority, immediate. You know, when the disciples were sent out, they came back to Jesus and they were just besides themselves. You know what they were besides themselves over? They said, even the spirits are subject unto us. That's the identical same thing I felt. I went, oh my goodness. Now, it's not just me, it's you too. You have that right in Jesus Christ. They are subject unto you. And they do right. I mean, when I got leukemia, you know, right away, I've only been sick three times with leukemia, three times. I didn't even know I had it otherwise. But on three different occasions, I was sick. And the very first time, I'll never forget, I was supposed to go to Israel the next day. And I had leukemia. Now this is spiritual. This isn't, you know, my blood cells weren't high enough to make me sick. But I remember exactly where I was at in the house, and I told Debbie, we're supposed to go to Israel the next day or whatever. And I told Debbie, I said, man, I'm sick. What's the matter? I said, I am sick. I said, right now, I feel like death warmed over. I got a fever. I think this leukemia is going to kill me. You know, I went upstairs and finally I came to my senses and I thought, could this be spiritual? I took authority as spiritual and 100% healed. It happened two other times, 100% healed. But I think I see Peter and Alos down there. When I went to Africa, you know, we went into a hornet's nest. And Peter, remember, we were doing some curriculum we didn't like. You know, it was curriculum that somebody written and, you know, like how to attract a crowd. We're going to show you how to attract a crowd, how to have a clean parking lot. And I said, oh, this is bogus. These guys need a lot more. We're Africa. And so I looked at Peter, Dr. Nalos, and I looked at Tom, and I said, hey, I want to preach on spiritual authority. These people need to hear about spiritual authority. They didn't know how to attack demons and put them in their place. We need to do that. And so it's okay, next session, I'm going to do it. And so I'm sitting back, I'll never forget, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I look at Tom, and I go, I'm sick. And I staggered out of the building, and I was so sick. And I went out there, and Tom started pouring water on my head and stuff. And I said, I don't know if I can teach. I am so sick. I was deathly sick. And so finally, Tom prayed over me, took authority, came back in, I preached on spiritual authority. Went back that night to the hotel, and I was dead. You guys had to go without me a day or two. And you guys took off without me, and I had a fever, man, and I was bad. And I was thinking, I'm in Ethiopia, Africa. I can't go to the hospital here. Can't. It's a nightmare. I started thinking, how do I get out to Germany right away? I got to get to Germany because I've got to go to the hospital. I am one sick man. And I was just deathly sick. And so I was trying to call home and I wasn't getting through going, I got to get out. I thought, I got to find Peter somewhere. I got to get to a plane and get to Germany somewhere. And Tom went off, poor Tom, he's a nice guy, kept checking on me. And then they went off that day and I hadn't eaten for like a day and a half. And all of a sudden, I remember I was in there, and I opened up the Word and started reading, and there was a verse that popped out that this is spiritual. And I remember I got up, and I said, this is spiritual. Now, it has all the earmarks. We're over there trying to deliver people, give them the gospel. I had all these messages in my heart, and I got up, and I started taking authority over spirits. I said, in Jesus' name, I will not. This will not happen to me. It will not. I started throwing stuff around the room. I said, man, I've come here to preach the gospel, and I'm not staying in this room one more day. In Jesus' name, be gone. I started singing praises to God. I started doing all this stuff, and all of a sudden, I was perfect within about 15 minutes. Remember? I went down and ate. I ate two meals. I went down and ate and everything. Came back and said, I'm ready to go tomorrow. I'm ready to go. And I was ready to go. You say, what told you? Well, you know, you just put two and two together. Remember, we talked about 2 weeks ago that the spiritually mature are those that can smell. Remember, they have a spiritual sense for every physical sense. Smell, they can spiritually see, spiritually hear, spiritually feel, spiritually taste. And so, you know, it's the way it is. Now, you know, I said I'm not the same person I am today. I'm just totally different. That's why I hope the Lord gives me 20 more years of real good health, because I feel like finally I get some experience and wisdom, and I want to share all this stuff. We went to Vegas Sunday. It's so funny because we're preaching. I told my wife, I said, you know, and some of you too, I don't know how many of you, but you'd be shocked what's normal to us. And it's maybe not normal to you. I mean, our life centers around God so much, it would freak some of you out. I mean, everything in our life centers around God. Debbie and I, everything. We had another second prayer. We've had two prayer requests answered in this month. Two. One of them we prayed about for 7 years and I think 5 years. And both of them came in this month. Both of them came in. Both of them. We're batting 1,000 yet. They both came in. But most people won't pray over stuff for 5 years. They'll stop. Boy, you just keep. When you know it's God's will, you don't stop. And then when it comes in, it's all the sweeter. But I'm saying, we see God in everything. And I shared some of this in Vegas, and I thought, they're going to think I'm crazy. But, you know, last year or two, I told you before, I was walking around because I had a back problem, man. And I was just kind of walking like this. And I was getting so bad that I told my wife, I'm going to have to be on a walker, I think, man. I'm bad. And I got turned on to something called resveratrol, and it's so good for the joints and stuff. And man, I started taking this stuff, and it's supposed to make you young, so I should look like I'm 20 next year at this time, you know. So, first thing I went to, and God's in everything. I mean, I choose to see him in everything. So it's resveratrol. I thought, oh man, because I do take a leukemia medicine too. I said, what if it interferes? And I get on the internet, and it says resveratrol. It says, in the laboratory, it's been known to kill chronic myelogenous leukemia cells. Not just leukemia cells, but the kind I have. And I don't want to tell y'all, I was in the hospital 7 hours Friday night, but I don't want to go into that. It was a crazy story. But I poor Peter, I always go home, and within 3 hours, I'll diagnose myself. Just give me the internet for and I will find out what's wrong with me. And I'm convinced that I have a real esophagus problem, and I'm convinced. It looked like a heart attack, but esophagus problem. Make a long story short, I never heard of esophagus spasm, never heard of it, but I heard it in my mind as I was driving. See, I was in the hospital 3 a.m. and down there, over there, a long ways away, but anyway, make a long story short. My son comes in, and he goes, Dad, now you're going to go to a hotel, right? Dad? And so I just got out of the hospital, man, got about 4 more hours to Vegas. I drove right to go, 6:30 in the morning, and Joshua and me said, geez, man, I shouldn't even answer you. What's wrong with you? I said, I'm weird, Josh. I'm tilted. I'm sick. But anyway, make a long story short, I get in Vegas, and I'm convinced I have an esophagus problem, right? And so I go down to the store right away, and I say, I want some salad today. I want to eat light. And I got this Bragg's vinegar, and I bring it back. And I go to put my salad, and it says Bragg's vinegar and honey. Oh, honey. Debbie said, well, that's the stuff they drink. You know, you're the health guy. You've been teaching to drink. I said, yeah, honey. I said, oh, well, I'm going to start drinking. I bought it. I'm going to drink it now. And I thought, I better look at it, though. Make sure it's okay for health. I looked. Second line, heals esophagus problems. I said, you're kidding me. Now, I know you think I'm weird, but that's the way we live. That's normal in our house. That's normal. Everything. I mean, I choose to think everything that happens to me is God.
Amen.
But you don't have to. I do that. But you know what? I think God gets a kick out of it. Look at that guy. He says everything is God. Everything. But you know what I read in the Bible? Delight yourself in him, and he'll even give you the desires of your heart. And I'm delighting myself. Everything. It's God. It's God. It's God. It's God. People say, oh, that wasn't God. That's all right. I'm going to give him the credit. Even if he didn't do it, I'm going to give him the credit. Now, the second thing, Jesus spoke the word of God to the Spirit. He spoke to the Spirit. He didn't see this guy's coming running down. He's going to get him. Oh, it's Jesus. And Jesus said, in the name of Jesus, come out. He speaks the word. That's the word of God. Come out. You know, for us, it'd be come out in Jesus' name. But the word of God. And he did it over and over again. He didn't go like we would do. Oh, man, there's a demon-possessed guy. Let's pray. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. That guy's dangerous. Help us, Lord. Hey, in Jesus' name, help us. We believe you'll help us. You know, they're authority, man. You know, they didn't pray like we do. You read the Gospels? Read the book of Acts? They do their praying in the sight, and when they come out, and silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to thee in Jesus' name, and rise up and walk. They spoke the words. They didn't come out in the marketplace going, help me, help me. They did that in the prayer closet. When they came out, they were ready. They were equipped for everything. He commanded the Spirit, kept commanding the Spirit. Now notice it says, please don't torment us. Interesting. Almost every deliverance I've done, most of them, the Spirit screamed bloody murder. Scream and yell, I'm not coming out. And it's almost like they're being tormented. Very interesting. Now, Once the spirit's eradicated, there's always this. Phew, and I've had it over and over again, which really distinguishes a difference in mental, sickness. You smell, you know what you're into. One of the most cruel things in the world is to find somebody's mentally ill and try to do this. It's just wrong. But usually it's always this phew, at the end, just passing out at whatever. Now, we need to speak the word of God more. You know, there's times when we have to defend the word of God, and there's times when we have to explain the word of God. We need to speak it a lot more than we defend it or explain it. Don't worry about it. One great man of God, great, I think it was Spurgeon even, but they asked him, they said, how do you defend the word of God? And he says, defend it? How do I defend the word of God? I don't defend it. It's like a lion. You just let it out of the cage and it'll defend itself. Yes. It'll defend itself. Yes. A guy on the plane one day was witnessing to this other guy, and he was kind of sharing his faith with him, and he still wanted to argue. He wanted to argue Christianity with him. And this other guy said, every time he argued, I took my Bible and opened up and read him a verse that coincided with his went against his argument. He'd argue some other point, and I'd turn a verse, and I'd read him a verse. Another one, I'd read him a verse. And he said, finally, the guy got off the plane. I didn't hear from him for a while. But he wrote me back sometime later, and he said, you know, I ended up going back to church. He said, when I tried to debate with you, I felt like I was arguing with God. Because all you gave me is a verse. And it was like I was arguing with God. It wasn't even you. And so let's take some more texts, and then we're going to finish this thing. Some more texts. If these people were Jews, why were they raising pigs? Wasn't that against their religion? Well, there's a lot of controversy here. A lot of people say that they were not Jews. Okay, and then Chuck Smith and them says they were Jews. But if they were Jews, Jesus just ruined their pig business right away. We'll see in just a moment. He ruined it. Next one. Why didn't anyone from the region help him? I don't know what you're referring to. I just meant helping the demoniac. They had no resources to help him. I mean, the only way he's going to be delivered is by Jesus. That's the only way. There's no other way they could deliver him. Nothing they could do, counseling, and nothing they could do, period. Next one. When the people saw the man clothed in his right mind, why did they get scared? I'm going to talk about that in a moment, too. But they got scared because they never seen anything like this. Who has this power to do this? And we'll see in a moment. We'll answer that question in just a moment. Let's take one more. Why didn't Jesus let the man who was demon-possessed go with him? Okay, we're going to answer that. So let's go on and finish this, and then we'll take the text, because these are questions I'm going to answer right here. We're getting kind of a little bit ahead, so let's do that. Look at verse 11 and 12. Now there was a large herd of swine feeding nearby in the mountain. The demons implored him, saying, send us into the swine so that we may enter them. Now, this is an odd request. Why would they want to go on an animal? Well, I have a story for everything. Remember that time I was doing deliverance at Old Oak Ranch, and I told the demons, you can go on the horse on the hill if you want. Because we were having a hard time. I got 15, 20 pastors that are high up that were with me. And I told us, you can go on that horse on the hill if you want. And the eyes went up, the whites of the head, and came back, so there's no horse on that hill. I said, you liar. So the eyes turned white again for like 20 seconds, came back, so there's no horse on that hill. Little did I know, they took the horse off the hill for the first time in 3 years that afternoon. And that thing went up their back, up their back, up their back. Crazy. But you go, why? And then I was doing one in a park over here, and the spirit says, let me go into those dogs. And I didn't see any dogs, and there's some dogs ran by, and I go, whoa, you saw those dogs before I did. Why would they want to? Why would they want to go in an animal? You want to know why? You want to know why they want to go in an animal? I don't know why. Doesn't make sense to me. Maybe they want to just destroy the pigs. Maybe they want to destroy them. Maybe they want a holding place to wait for another person to go into. Maybe they want a pig girlfriend. That's probably it. Or maybe it's a way to stay in the land. Maybe, you know, they had developed relationships in this land. Have you ever heard of familiar spirits? They probably had some crushes on some people. They had relationships going on. Look at verse 10 again. They wanted to stay in that land. He began to implore him earnestly, please don't send us out of the country. We want to stay around here. We've made some relationships. And maybe it was a holding place, I don't know. Look at verse 13, 14. We got to go quick and finish this. Jesus gave them permission, and coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine. The herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them. They were drowned in the sea. Now, I didn't say 2,000 demons, 2,000 swine. Their herdsmen ran away and reported to the city and the country, and the people came to see what had happened. Now, maybe the people, maybe Jesus did this to show them. He didn't tell them to go. They requested, he let them. He said, I want to show people this is really real stuff. I had somebody one day that said they saw something we were doing deliverance, and they blew me away with what they saw, and God said, that's for you. That's for you. So you can see this is real stuff. Look at verse 15. They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed in his right mind, the very man who had the legion. They became very frightened. The girl at Old Oak Ranch that we did a fantastic deliverance on, and it was picturesque. I've had about eight that just you could draw, they're just perfect. But she wrote me a letter later on, said, Pastor Ron, will this ever happen to me again? Said, it's just a phenomenal, the change. She married a pastor. It was just a phenomenal story. Look at verse 16, 17. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine. And they began to implore him to leave their region. This is terrible. They are more concerned about their doggone pigs than they are a man's sanity and salvation and being healed. Is that pathetic? Yes. We have no room to talk in the United States of America. If I see another picture of Cecil, I'm going to vomit. I know you're going to say, "Why, Cecil the lion, I'm going to vomit." Yes, I think that was wrong what happened to Cecil. It was horrible and cruel. But how can we be mad about Cecil the lion when we abort babies every cotton picking day of the year? How can we? How dare us? Right now, if you destroy a bald eagle's egg, $2,500 fine and possible 2 years in prison, but we can destroy unborn babies over and over and over again. Something's wrong with this country. Something's really wrong. The spotted owl, the lowland gorilla. We care more about animals than we do people. These babies, the recent thing, taking body parts, taking body parts and selling them out of little babies. God's going to rain wrath on this country is what he's going to do. He's about to do it. This is... Do you understand my hate? We're no different than them. And I say that sympathetically. A lot of you women I know you have. And you've asked for forgiveness. And God is, he's going to have you a baby in hell. That's all. But we don't have the right to take life. No, we don't. Under any circumstance. People say, I don't speak out against abortion. I do. It's wrong. Amen. It's taking life. We have no fear of God. And I'm telling you, the wrath of God is going to come down on this country. If we don't change and repent. That's right. Now, again, I'm telling you, women, a lot of you have had abortions, and I'm sorry. You didn't know any better. And God will forgive you, and he'll hold that baby for you in heaven. I'm not saying this, but go and sin no more. Sin no more. That baby has a right to live. Just because you were a spirit of stupid on you and you went out there and got pregnant, it's not the baby's fault. The baby has a right to live. And if you don't want him, give him to me. I'll make a preacher out of him. Or her, I'll make a missionary out of her. We're going to have to do something. This last thing did it. When they sold those body parts, Planned Parenthood, they've called for war. They've called for war. And I don't know what we're doing. My wife's talking about it. I said, we got to do something. Again, if you're here and you've had abortion tonight, we pray for you. And I'll pray for you in the ending. God forgives you. And that baby will be waiting for you in heaven because you didn't know any better. But when you know better, don't you dare do it again. Amen. That's what you call righteous indignation, my friend. And I know you're thinking, Cecil the lion. I don't want to see it anymore. That was sad. It was wrong. I felt as bad as you did, but let it go. Now let's get on to babies. A lion and a baby is a whole different ballgame. 18 through 20, we got to finish. I'm out of time. He was getting into the boat. The man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. And he did not let him, but he said, go home to your people. Report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. He went away and began to proclaim to Decapolis the great things that Jesus did for him, and everybody was amazed. Now, listen to me closely. Notice that Jesus answered the people's prayer. They said, go away. He said, I'll go. Yes, I'll do what you asked me. He answered the demons' prayers. We want to go into the pigs. I will answer that. You may go. But the man said, I want to go with you. And he goes, no. Do you understand that no is as much of an answer to a prayer as yes is? When God says no, that's an answer to prayer. I can tell the times I've wanted something and God said no to me because he had something better for me. And then another thing is here too, and I want to talk to somebody because I know a lot of you, bless your hearts, you know, we want this mission trip, you know, in Africa, and we want you to pay for, you give us money, go to Africa for 3 weeks, our school, da, da, da. If you can't serve at home, what makes you think you're going to serve over there? Amen. Amen. You got to start serving here. And bless your hearts, you come out and you go, and I'll say, but you'll be involved in our programs. No, I've never been involved before, but can you give me $3,000 to go abroad? Well, who doesn't want to go abroad and hold babies all day? I mean, who doesn't? And I'm sorry, I'm getting tough tonight. I'm probably going to regret some of this, but, you know, start serving here first. Those who are faithful in small things get larger. Then you come, we'll say, we'll support you. But serve at home first. Tell your story here. Ministry, we've got ministry all over this place. And then if you're faithful in that, God will send you abroad. Whose toes didn't I step on tonight? But you know, it's just proof again that I'm not trying to build a big church. I want to be God's voice. And if it gets big, again, if it doesn't, whatever. I told somebody today, it would be nothing to build a big church. It'd be easy to build a big church. I could build the biggest church in the United States. Go to Los Angeles, build a big, by people pleasing. But you know what? We've been called to be the salt of the earth. And salt stings wounds. I'm going to pray this right here. Father God, I'm out of time. Yes.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.